Hello,
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all. This is Christine. I am about 2 minutes late to the call because I was sitting here with my microphone going and all plugged in and ready to go, and then all of a sudden, it said that I was disconnected, and my only option was to end the show. So I'm now calling in on my phone, so I hope that's not awful. It turns out that this week for our episode, we are able to call in. If you choose to call in the 646-668-2970 number, I will be able to see you on the switchboard, and I will be able to take your questions from there or to share in the get you started in sharing in a discussion. Let's see. So the beginnings of my shows are getting to be interesting. Maybe next week everything will just happen the way it's supposed to. So let me just start and say hello and welcome to episode 2 of Love Yourself, Love Your Life. I posed one of my favorite questions ever this week, one that I started asking many years ago when I began on my journey from, as I've mentioned before, from fear to love. And the question is, what if you are already perfect just the way you are? And I invite everybody to just take a moment and think about that. I mean, just really think about what if you knew with absolute certainty that you are already perfect, exactly the way you are, and that there's nothing that you need to do and nothing that you need to change. All that you need to do to be exactly who you need and who everybody else needs is for you to actually know that you are already perfect. It's what allows us to get beyond our defense mechanisms. It's what allows us to relate honestly with one another. And one of the really beautiful things about understanding that your perfection is already there is that when you know that you are perfect, which is not to say that we're ideal. It's not to say that we're, we all have lists of the ways that we think we should be. And it's not to say we're that. We're not the way we think we should be, but we are exactly the way we are meant to be, given what we have experienced, given our the conclusions that we've drawn, the experiences that we've had, the unique purpose and message that we have to deliver, our unique life paths. We really couldn't be other than we already are. And so when we're afraid that we might be less than we are meant to be, then we put a lot of effort into trying to protect ourselves from finding out that, you know, we might be inadequate, or from other people, even scarier, right, potentially finding out that we might be inadequate. But when we know we're adequate, then we can put a lot of energy into trying to understand who we are and what our role in this place is, in this place, in this world is. And I spent, I had the incredible pleasure the last few days to listen in on a seminar that was put on by Dr. Joe Vitale and Dr. Hugh Len. Dr. Hugh Len, well, they're the co-authors of the book Zero Limit. And it was pretty profound. But during the time that I was listening to this, at some point I thought, you know, everything would be different in this world if we all did just one thing. If every morning when we got up, instead of saying, what is life going to give me today? If we were to set our intention and say, what can I give to life today? How much love can I put out there into life today? Because as many of the sages have said throughout the ages, and, you know, I've run up against this time and time and time again when I've been, you know, trying to stay more anchored on the love side of what I think of as the bridge, right? There's fear on one side and then there's love on the other. And I spend a lot of my time on the love side of the bridge now, but, you know, I go back and forth. Maybe I'm at 80-20, maybe I'm kidding myself and I'm more at 60-40, but I do spend more than half of my time certainly on the love side of the bridge. But when I'm there, what I'm able to hear and to just know in my heart really, really clearly is that the whole point of all of us being here is so that we can be the perfect expressions of love that we're meant to be. That we can get our fears and our stories and our past, you know, whatever we think are flaws, mistakes, errors, wrongdoings, out of the way, so that we can just be the perfect and unique expression of love that we are meant to be every day. Because if each of us is here expressing love to everyone and everything that we encounter, then you can see pretty quickly that the world changes. Our experience changes. This becomes a nice, friendly, loving place to be, as perhaps it once was. So I see I've got some callers on the line here. I'm going to go ahead and take one. I'm really hoping I'm not going to disconnect anybody, but, you know, we'll see. So here we go with that. Hello. You're on the air with Christine, I hope. Are you there? No. Hi, it's Christine. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hooray.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, it's not a great connection, but I can hear you.
I know. I had such a hard time connecting. It's Irene.
Oh, geez. Hi, Irene. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good.
You know, I just got on the phone because I was fooling around with the connection, trying to get it connected. But I'm thinking a lot about last week. I know that you know that there was somebody in particular I was thinking about when you were talking about how the two people interacted with each other. And there is a relatively new person, like I said, this particular company that go in and out. And she and I work very well together. But you know what? She started the conversation with the five magic words. What can I do to support you? So there was like no feeling of being defensive. There was no feeling of being quote unquote less than. It was just a very, very good working relationship.
Hmm. Wonderful. What a difference that makes, doesn't it?
It makes a huge difference. A huge difference.
It does. I will tell you, people are always, and I used to, you know, this was my reality. I was always complaining about somebody. You know, it was always like a coworker, or it was a boss, or then it became a client. There was always somebody that was giving me a hard time, making my life more difficult than they had to. And when I started realizing that I had complete, I don't want to call it control, but complete responsibility for the way I perceived other people, and I realized that I could always choose love, and if I did, not only would I perceive that their behavior would change, but it actually would, like literally, their behavior would change.
Well, I remember that time that you told me you were in Starbucks and with the woman in front of you, and she was really impatient, and she was grouchy, and she was complaining about the full service, and she was complaining about everything else, and you turned around and said, you know what, I'm going to pay for your coffee.
That's right.
And she just turned right around. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I had forgotten all about that, but I did do that, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really interesting. But then I also, and I shared with you something that I heard about when you don't have the ability to, when you don't keep saying no. And it goes into the whole self-worth thing. And then, of course, that all fear, the new F word. When you don't say no, you're constantly keeping yourself in a state of overwhelm because you're afraid of facing something. And I kind of liken that to the whole passive-aggressive thing. You know, when I was 21 years old, I was going out with a guy who probably wanted to break up with me really sooner than we did. But instead he took the passive-aggressive route and would be like an hour late showing up.
Right.
And then, well, of course, I'd get passive-aggressive and, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we had a date tonight. Very helpful.
Well, you know, that's a really good point because I had that business meeting, and so I've got the main point I'll make here is that whenever we see something in somebody else, it's guaranteed to be in us. And, you know, I had heard that. I mean, it was in Buddhism. It was, you know, Jesus said before you go to take the splinter out of the other guy's eye, you know, take the big giant chunk of wood out of your own, you know, the 2x4 out of, or the plank, I think it was, out of your own eye, you know. So when you're looking at somebody else and you say, oh, I think I see a little flaw in them, realize that the little flaw you're seeing in them is a reflection of the big flaw inside of you. And so, you know, stop projecting. And for a long time I thought, what does that mean? You know, I understood it conceptually, or I thought I did, but I couldn't really understand how it would be at work with how it was really happening in people, because I would see somebody do something and I would say, I don't do that. So I was at a business meeting a couple of weeks ago, and one man had handed me a letter at the beginning of the meeting, and he was very upset, and he said, you know, you've got to see this letter, and by the way, I think it's absolute bullshit that nobody showed this to you before this meeting, because that's what this meeting is all about. And so I said, okay, you know, I appreciate that, thank you. And in this letter, basically, he said, you know, either you acknowledge me and my value, or I'm out of here, I'm leaving the company. And it was a very long letter, and it was more detailed, but that was the bottom line. He was saying, I don't feel valued, and if you don't value me, I'm leaving. So about 2 hours later, we're on this group call, and we get to this point where this other partner comes around and ends up saying, you know, just so you know, you're not on the same playing field that we are. You know, the others of us are at a level above you, and so you just have to understand right now that you're not going to have the same say in this company as we do, because you're just not of equivalent value. And he said, and I want everybody's buy-in right now, because this company's got to move forward fast, I'm moving forward fast, and if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to take my product and I'm going to leave. I'm going to go be part of somebody else's company. So, you know, okay, so I'm keep taking everybody out of the battleground and back into the oasis. Like, there's really, you know, we can't understand one another if everybody's posturing and getting upset. So let's please, you know, try to remain open and clear. So about 20 minutes later, everything seems to be resolved, and everybody is actually, we've had a really heartfelt, connected meeting, and all of a sudden this man says, you know, I still have an issue here. And I said, and what's that? And he said, well, I don't know how I feel about somebody threatening, about going into business with somebody who threatened to leave if he didn't get his way. Now, I don't know if I told the story well enough for it to be clear. But just 10 minutes before, he had done exactly the same thing.
Interesting.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
It is interesting because when I'm watching other people, it becomes really clear to me that the thing that one person finds most offensive about somebody else is in some way something that they fear is inside of them. Right? And they're projecting it because they don't want to look at it.
Definitely.
So when we do that ourselves and we get ourselves in a position where we're saying, you know, that person does this, one of the things that I found really helpful is to stop and say, wait a minute. If I'm seeing it there, is it inside of me? And if it is inside of me, can I let it go? You know, can I choose love?
You know, one of the things about that particular situation that you know about is, well, I don't know how much you've had a chance to catch up, but I'm leaving that account at the end of the month. And one of the things that really pushed me over the edge was, I do not want to feel like this. It brings out a side of me that I do not like.
Mm. So let me ask you this. What if you liked all of your sides?
I don't know how to answer that.
So there are, what is it about that when you're interacting with this woman, what is it about yourself that you don't like?
Well, what I'm afraid of doing is becoming, she's very, very, very combative.
Mm.
And I know that I have the tendency that I can be combative, but I'd like to only employ that as to when I have to. But it seems like because she's so combative, every single time I speak to her, I get combative every time.
Mm. Okay. So let's say that, let me take it back one. What is it about being combative that makes you uncomfortable?
Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes confrontation can be a good thing. I understand that. But she, I don't know, maybe combative wasn't the right word. She gets very personal.
Mm-hmm.
She gets, it's almost like 2 8-year-olds on a playground. Well, yeah, well, your mother's ugly.
Ah, yes. The truth of it all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, do you have a sense that this is abnormal, that this is not something that most people live with?
Well, I don't know if it's abnormal that most people don't live with, but I know that I don't want to live with it.
Hmm. Okay.
I grew up in a very, very confrontational home, and I just don't want that in my life.
Right.
She gets personal. She manipulates. God, I hope we're on mute.
Do you know why she does that?
I suspect when people do that, it's usually across the board because they feel that they're not being heard. People don't give them credence in their life.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You know, when
you and I lived in the city, there was a woman in my Buddhist organization, and actually I have to say that I really respect her a lot. Very, very smart. But boy, you would put the two of us in a room and we'd be like burning cats in a meth lab.
Mm.
And she used to get very, very personal and repeat things over and over again, as this other person does. And I wasn't the only one who had problems with her. And somebody was talking about it, and I said, I think that's because she always felt that she wasn't heard.
Right. Right. There are two, we're always, and this is what I love about the whole fear-love paradigm, is it makes things really, really clear, because there are a million kind of buzzwords and ways of talking about things, you know, like being in the present moment and, you know, accepting yourself and, you know, all kinds of different ideas or along the spectrum. But when you talk about fear or love, when people are in love, it's pretty clear when they're being in a loving state, because they're kind and their focus is upon how can I support life around me, right? How can I express myself in a loving way? And that's pretty clear. It's kindness, it's honesty, it's honoring one another. It's giving everyone in the room, including ourselves, permission to be exactly who we are.
Right.
Right? When people are not behaving in that manner, it's because fear is driving them.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I would say that fear is driving her.
So when we see somebody who's in fear, and this is all about healing. It's all about healing ourselves and getting ourselves back to love. Because when you run into somebody who reminds you of something inside of you that scares you or that you don't like, and this is not you, this is all of us. This every day when we're going out through the world, the people that we encounter are the people who show us what still scares us.
Yep.
And if we can realize that we're looking in a mirror at the things that scare us inside of us, and we say, oh, you know what? That thing's still inside of me, and it scared me. But now I realize all I have to do is love it, and it can't hurt me anymore. It can't scare me anymore. So when this woman comes into my life and she starts behaving combative, and I'm thinking, boy, I don't like this. I don't want to be combative. I don't want this in my life. The other thing that I can do is that I can say, oh, look at that. She's showing me what I'm still afraid of. Both of us are in fear. What if I just choose to love us both exactly as we are?
Sounds good to me.
Doesn't it sound good? I mean, seriously, because I don't know how.
Is that chapter 13 in your book, The Teacher?
Yeah. Well, the whole next book is about this. It's about the journey to love, and it's really about understanding. I don't know. There's this mental switch which happens, and it happens for everybody at a different place and in a different way. But there's this mental switch which, when all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I'm standing here and like my fists are clenched and my teeth are clenched and my body's like, you know, stiff and angry, and I'm wanting to do something, right? Because I'm feeling scared. And when you feel scared, your fight or flight instinct is triggered. And so
can
it's
I,
like
can
I either want to. Yeah.
Can I, a lot of times, I mean, I'm sure I still have some of that reaction, but I would say only about 10 or 15% of it, of that reaction. And the more that I don't engage, the calmer that I seem, the crazier she gets.
Mm. Absolutely.
And that must be bringing up her fear.
Yeah.
And one time I even said to her, I'm not being obtuse, but I just don't want to engage in this.
Right. Right, absolutely.
You know, and I have noticed that there are some people, and they will really, really try to push your buttons. I have one at my church. And the more that I don't engage, the more she escalates.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, they do, but remember, when people are escalating, they're still showing us what's inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the, love is trying to get through and say, look, if I show you everything that's inside of you that scares you and you make peace with it, nothing will ever scare you again. It sounds a little bit like the Garden of Eden, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Like, if you are not ashamed of who you are, if you're not afraid of being who you are in this world, then what will be left of you You'll see yourself as perfect. You'll be clean and open to love. You'll be an expression of love, right? So love is always trying to show us, hey, look, that's still inside of you. You're still afraid of that. If you don't know, if we don't know what we're afraid of, then we can't, I don't want to say confront it, but we can't release it. We have to know what's inside of us in order to be able to acknowledge it and release it. And so every person, literally every person that we encounter, is showing us what we're afraid of. If we have a reaction to them, if everything's hunky-dory and we chat and we get along just fine, or, you know, we pass the person on the street or on the subway and there's no reaction on either person's part, then that person's not, you know, there to teach us that.
Right.
People that we interact with who really push our buttons, those people are some of life's greatest gifts. They were sent to say, hey, this is inside of you, and it's going to keep you stuck. It's going to keep you from knowing your perfection.
But
so
see,
here's
this person who escalates doesn't push my buttons at all. First of all, this is a person that, if you speak to most people, well, she's known for complaints.
Mm.
And I don't know, one day she just decided she was going to hate my guts. So, I mean, she will do things like look in the door of the thrift shop, see my face, and say, oh, no, I'm not working with her. She's like, I'm the devil.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, okay, so fly away.
That's right. And choose love. Seriously, I choose love like a hamster on crack. And I've actually got three callers waiting here, so we're going to have to wrap up on this. I don't want to keep them going too long, but I do. I choose love like a hamster on crack, and I like saying that just because it makes me laugh. But fear blinds and love guides, so I choose love. I say it 5 times whenever I feel the slightest resistance or flutter or sensation that says, uh-oh, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I start to perceive that something isn't going exactly the way it's meant to go, I pull out the fear blinds and love guides, so I choose love. And I will tell you that it will stop raining. The clouds will literally part and blue sky will appear. People who were a moment before, being difficult or confrontational or snippy or whatever it was, all of a sudden they're not. But, of course, it's because when we choose love, that's what gets reflected back to us. You change your inside environment, and you certainly know, because I know you study Buddhism, and there's a lot of that in this. But you clean your inside house, and the whole outside world changes its reflection.
Yeah.
So I have found I had a couple of clients who really challenged me, business clients, and I said, you know what, when I get to a point, I mean, I really looked at them as teachers, as gifts, and said, when I get to a point where this person has zero, I have zero reaction to this person, then I will know that I can go out into the world and interact with anybody, and I can stay in love. Does that make sense? Yeah, so I challenged myself. It was like, okay, let's see how long it takes. Not that it mattered, but let's see how long it takes. And I would go in, and I'd be saying, I choose love, I choose love, I choose love. I mean, not even the whole thing, just I choose love. Because I was on, it was really, I was on a mission. It's like life sent these people to me in order so that I could understand what was inside of me, what the stumbling blocks, the big fears inside of me were that would keep me from, you know, discovering my perfection, being a pure expression of love in the world. That's what I want to be. That's what everybody wants to be. Our hearts long to be a pure expression of love. The only thing that ever gets in the way of us doing that is our fears. And so when these people come and they trigger our fears, let's embrace them.
Do I have to embrace them?
Yes, maintaining the sense of humor is absolutely critical. No, you don't have to embrace them. But you know, what we're really doing is embracing ourselves, aren't we?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'll embrace myself.
Yeah.
I won't react
yeah.
to it, but can I keep it at arm's length?
That's right. That's right. Hey, Irene, thank you so much for calling in. You are a dear. I so appreciate it.
So are you.
Thank you. And I'm going to find out who else is here. We've got a couple. One gave up. I'm going to say the call-in number because I know some people are on the phone, and so you won't be able to see the call-in number, but it's 646-668-2970. Thanks, and thanks again, Irene.
Okay, thank you. But I'll embrace Nemo.
He's here. Oops. All right. Hello, this is Chris. Who we got here? Hello?
Is it me?
It is you.
Oh. Well, hello.
Hello. That's so funny because I'm looking at this number. I was thinking, boy, that number's really familiar. I should know who this is.
Well, I couldn't get you on the internet.
Oh,
so
yes.
I just called the number.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So did you want to?
Well, I do.
Oh, good.
I haven't heard a lot of tonight's because of people problems, but I did listen to last week's, and I was constantly reminded that, you know, the Dalai Lama says over and over that forgiveness is such a big part of love.
Yes.
And what I have learned is that when you love yourself and you can forgive yourself, you're so much lighter. You're not carrying so much baggage.
Absolutely.
Because it's okay if we've made mistakes. We recognize them, we forgive ourselves, and we move on. And
That's
that is truly loving yourself.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And mistakes, right? Mistakes are life's lessons.
Sure.
If we all came in and, you know, on the day we were born, we were given a little guidebook and we were told, here, you know, this is the way it's all going to work out for you and these are the things you should know, then that would be a different experience, but probably not terribly valuable, right?
Right, because we'd forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The struggle is actually what makes getting past the struggle worthwhile and beautiful, really. How does
right.
it feel to love yourself now?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can love people around me so much more freely. I'm not intimidated.
Wow.
I'm not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I greet people with a smile, and geez, I often get greeted back with a smile. If I don't, it doesn't bother me.
Right.
I just.
And why not? Why doesn't it bother you?
Because I don't notice it. Because
yeah.
it doesn't affect me.
Right. Because it's not about you, is it?
No.
No. No. I love that. So, everybody, this is my mom. We're being honored with my my mom Debbie's call this evening, and my mom and my stepdad Tony and oh gosh, my kids and my husband and my dog have all been you know, on this journey and listening and talking and pondering and all of that kind of stuff. So it just so warms my heart to have, you know, it's been 10 years. And over the last year, there's been a shift in, there's been a real shift in everybody. And it's, the beauty of it is because every single person said, you know what, I have a choice to make and I think I'll choose love. And it has, it's changed lives.
Yes, it has. From 11 years old to, well, however old I am.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really exciting. And nothing could make me happier, of course, than to have my mom saying, you know, speaking from your heart, because I know that's inside of you, and I grew up knowing that, you know, that part of you. And as we, gosh, you know, as time goes by and years go by and we start to think that, you know, we've made mistakes or missed opportunities or whatever, and we start to collect all of this stuff, all these stories about ourselves and the ways that we've let ourselves and other people down. And in my experience, parents, 99.9% of parents out there are carrying a bunch of baggage around what they shoulda, coulda, woulda done for their kids that they didn't. And it weighs us down. And it actually ends up hurting our children and ourselves in the long run because, as my mom just said, when you can't love yourself, you're not open to loving other people as clearly as you could.
Right.
So if you're feeling – go ahead, Mom, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it gets cloudy. You know, yeah, if you love yourself and then you can love other people. And I've always loved my children and my family and my life. But once you really learn to love yourself, it's such a lighter, freer love.
Yes. Yeah. Because things people, you're not always... you know, questioning people's motivations or, I don't know, we get threatened, you know, around a lot of issues. And if we feel like we haven't done a perfect job, and I'm speaking for myself because when I went through my shaman training, there were 9 people in our circle and who did the apprenticeship. And when we were asked to describe, you know, the one thing that we felt guilty or ashamed of, out of the 9 people, 9 of us talked about our children as our key point of shame. And I think every single one of us cried as we spoke of, you know, this dastardly thing that we had done that was completely unforgivable and the reason that we couldn't, you know, it's something we just couldn't let go of. God, if anybody else knew, you know, about this, then they would think terribly of me. And the really bizarre thing was that when we got around to the end of the 9 people and everybody had sat there crying and everyone had shared their story, it turned out that everybody was saying essentially the same thing. So in other words, the thing that we all thought was so unforgivable turned out to be the same thing. And most of the time what it was, that we made choices that we knew weren't particularly good for our kids or not the best choice for our kids, but we were afraid to do something else. Most of the time it was about money and security.
But what I learned, and the flip side of this, is how much my children love me. Because
well,
they have,
yeah.
If I made mistakes, they have forgiven me.
Well, sure. Yes. And you know, that's a great point to make because when you forgive yourself, and it's always this, when we are holding guilt and shame in ourselves, when our, let's say we're feeling guilty about our parenting role, when our kids say something, it could be completely innocent to us. But when they say something and we're holding guilt and it goes through that filter of guilt, we hear something that's distorted, something different from what they said. In other words, we hear an accusation. You know, if I'm already thinking I wasn't the best mother in the world, you know, I put my kids through this situation, and then my son says to me, well, you know, Mom, things haven't always been easy. What I hear is, and it's your fault because da-da-da-da-da. And so I react to that because I try to protect myself and I try to justify myself. But if I love myself and my son says it hasn't always been easy, then all I hear is, yeah, you know, that's what I hear. And I respond to that. Yeah, you're right, it hasn't. Life isn't easy, but it's worth it.
Right. And loving yourself makes it. Loving yourself and your family and just seeking love does make a huge difference.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. Thank you so much.
Well, you're so welcome.
It's
and
fun.
Tony,
we had, yeah.
Tony is staying in the background here. Last week when we listened to you and we couldn't get in touch with you, and
yes,
you were talking about the pride and the love. He said, you know, but I'm so proud of her. I thought, nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
It is. It is really nice. You know, pride's a really funny thing because somebody said something to me about, well, aren't you proud of your kids? And I said, you know, I love my kids, and I will support them. You know, I love them unconditionally, and I will support them no matter what they do. I mean, if they decide that they want to go, you know, whatever, hunt crocodiles on an island in, you know, Jelly Bean City or something, that's what they want to do. That's what their expression of love is or figuring it out is. That's great. Then I'll support them in that. But to me, And I'm sure Tony totally gets this too. The challenge with pride always it's always attached to shame, and so it's great. You know, we think of it as being great to say that I'm proud of myself or I'm proud of somebody else, and it isn't bad. But the fear that we have when a child, for example, hears a parent say, "I'm proud of you," then they naturally make the connection that if my parents proud in me, of me in this moment, then there might be a moment down the road at which they won't be proud of me, and the absence of pride is actually a shame. And it scares people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about this in terms of, it was great that Tony brought this up because this is so important for people to understand. It's not that pride is bad. It's not that shame is even bad. You know, the judgment, all of the great sages have talked about judgment and how if we judge things as good and bad, then we miss out on the lessons and the opportunity to learn. And we miss out on the point of life. We can spend all of our time judging and, as you know, the Bible says, wandering in the desert, round and round in circles in our own thoughts, thinking we have everything figured out and we know what's going on. But we're wandering kind of aimlessly because until we understand, until we really set out to understand what's the purpose of life, why does it work this way, what is it trying to tell me, you know, with the assumption that life knows better than we do what it's all about and that we're meant to do the exploring, not to be the ones that have all the answers. And so when we get into that pride thing, we think pride feels good. But it's so temporary, and it's always at the expense of love, because when
right,
we can feel proud or we can feel love, because love is unconditional, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Forever. Yes. So I didn't mean to tip poor Tony's probably thinking, well, I didn't mean to start that.
Nope, he's sitting here pretty relaxed.
Well, good. Well, good. It is so important for people to understand. And people would roll, you know, kind of roll their eyes when I would say, you know, I don't want to do that to my kids. Like, I don't want to do the proud thing to them. And then falling back on what we were talking with Irene about a little while ago, you know, people would roll their eyes at me because I was still looking for validation. So it was inside of me saying, you know, I'm going to say something that's not typical, and I want somebody to agree with me. I want somebody to tell me that it's okay to speak in different terms and to have different concepts and to put them out there in the world. And because I wasn't confident inside of myself, I was looking for validation, and a good number of the people would roll their eyes and reject that, but it's because that's what I needed to understand. As long as you're looking for validation in the outside world, you're wandering in the desert, girl. The
no,
only
I
place you'll ever come from is
I
inside.
I want to stay on and listen. Do I have to hang up? How do I?
That's a good question.
Good point.
Yeah, we're learning here. So I think actually that I can just turn off your mic and that you won't be hung up. But we're learning. We're learning.
Yeah, I know. So, well, I'm right there with you.
I know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Mom. So thanks for calling in, and I'll let you listen to the last 11 minutes of the show.
Oh, I would enjoy that. Good hearing your voice, hearing your advice.
Oh, thanks.
You are such a strength to all of us.
Oh, thanks, Mom. Thank you. I'm just being my expression of love, and that's I've gotten really clear about that, and it's so much fun. That's what I want for everybody because I know that's what everybody wants. Just be our expression
of love.
And you're right. Yeah, it is what we want, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So cool. All right. Thanks, Mom. I'll try not to disconnect you.
Well, if you do, I'll forgive you.
Okay. Thank you. I love you.
Love you, too. Good night.
All right. Bye. All right. Let's see. I'm trying. I think that worked. So we got to push the little headphones. Who knew? So this is fun. This is something interesting. I started out talking about how I had listened in on Dr. Joe Vitale and Dr. Hu Len's seminar, and it's in video, you know, it's video recorded. And I purchased it, and I listened to, I don't know, 15 modules or something like that. It was just amazing, really transformative. And one of the first things that they said really early on, I just grabbed onto. It was like this missing piece that I've been looking for years. Says, in any second, in a single second, there are more than 10 million bits of data moving about, flowing. So in any one person's life, now obviously this is an average, right, because we can't test each individual person, but if you went about and you counted everything that's going on inside of your body and inside of the room and inside of your mind and with other people around and, you know, the leaves blowing and the squirrel running up the trees and wherever you are, whatever's within your vantage point at a given moment, there are, on average, 10 million units of data per second, bits of data per second in movement, right? Reporting in something. Now, here's the really interesting thing. We are consciously aware of 15 of those bits of data. 15 out of 10 million per second. And I started to laugh because I had spent so many years, as I know a lot of people had, thinking that I had better be in control of this random world. You know, I had better do what I was supposed to do. I better make a plan. I better have a strategy. I better implement that plan. I'd better do the right things, the smart things. Because if I did all of those things, then that was going to pay off in some way. There were going to be rewards down the road. And not just, you know, monetary security rewards, but I was going to feel good about myself. I was going to be protected, I was going to be safe, and I was going to feel good about myself. And then at some point, of course, I realized through, you know, hitting rock bottom, as people do, I mean, that moment when all of a sudden I realized that everything that I thought I knew about the world wasn't doing anything for me. And I said, dear God, literally, not being religious or spiritual or... I was an atheist at the time. You know, a scientist. I prided myself on that. Gosh, I would never believe in anything that couldn't be proven. And, you know, look who got the last laugh here. But at that moment, when all of a sudden I said, you know, I guess I don't understand. You know, I thought I did. I thought I completely understood what I was supposed to do and how to do it. And now clearly this is not true. I think I need some help here and what happened. And everybody either does or will know this story. I got help immediately. And I started to learn to trust and honor in life. And, you know, I started realizing that life has a plan for me. Love has a plan for me, for each one of us, and that's why we're here. Love knows what that plan is. And here's the really cool thing. We don't. We might think we do, but let's go back. This is why I love this so much. These statistics are just great. We are consciously aware of 15 bits of data per second, and there are 10 million going on, which means, you know, basically, we don't have a clue. And I love that. The old me, 10 years ago, would have jumped up and down and said, what are you talking about? First of all, most of those bits of data probably are completely meaningless. I know about the ones that matter. I'm paying attention to them. I know what life is about. I lived that way for a long time. And you imagine, I put so much energy into trying to control those 15 bits of data, completely unaware that 10 million other bits were flying around that I knew nothing about. As it turns out, guys, those other 10 million bits of data are the ones that matter. And they're largely run by our subconscious and our superconscious. You know, our conscious mind, like Freud said, you know, it's the tip of the iceberg. The mind is vast, beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. And so it's really liberating when we start to understand that, you know, love not only knows what everybody's plan is, which is to be an expression of love, but love wants to tell you what its plan is for you. Love wants to guide and support you along on your journey to becoming a unique, an absolutely unique expression of it, of love. Everything literally that happens in your life is love providing guidance and support. Life talks to you directly, to each and every one of us. And it says the same thing over and over again for the same purpose. It says you are safe, you are loved, and you are perfect exactly as you are. Whenever we can't see that, then we can know that fear, that our own fears are in the way. And we can even know how to get rid of those fears by loving them, because nothing that we love can hurt us. And I know we could have a whole show on that, and maybe we will, because lots of people would say, I don't know, I loved this one, or I loved that one, and they hurt me. But when we love without condition, that's the kind of love I'm talking about. when we love without condition, nothing that we love in that manner can hurt us. If I love my husband without condition, what does that mean? That means that if tomorrow my husband gets up and says, you know what, honey, I'd be happier somewhere else. Unconditional love says, I love you. And of course you're free to go. Not that I want that, honey, if you're listening. But the point is that unconditional love, the only kind of love that really provides us the freedom that we want, that really helps us to understand and really makes us free and safe and full in this world, is unconditional love. And that's because we choose to feel it literally no matter what. It doesn't mean I have to like everything. It might be that I have personal preferences, right? I might like something one way. I prefer to have my husband here to not having him here. But in the event that he chose to leave, my love for him would not change. And there's power in that. There's freedom in that for the person who makes that choice. So I urge everybody, you know, as you go about throughout your week, give yourself a chance to know what it is to choose unconditional love. Fear blinds and love guides, so I choose love. Watch the little shift. Notice the little shift in your mind. Notice that shift running through your body. And then pay attention to how that shift presents in your outside world. Thanks so much for tuning in. I love you all. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.